You're listening to the Ideal Business Show with Pat Rigsby. This is the place where fitness entrepreneurs come to learn how to earn more income, have more impact, and enjoy more freedom. Now, here's your host, Pat Rigsby.
Everyone, Pat Rigsby here with another episode of the Ideal Business Show, and today I have a very special and kind of unique guest in that I am interviewing my wife, Holly Rigsby. As you may or may not know, Holly has worked alongside me in the fitness industry, kind of running her own business in a parallel way for the past really decade. And, you know, she got her start working in our offline training business and then transitioned online, where she had a great deal of success with the Fit Yummy Mummy brand that she developed and grew to a really, really strong reach over a number of years. And more recently has kind of shifted directions and just kind of gone with a personal brand online, Holly Joy Rigsby at hollyjoyrigsby.com. So I thought it might be an interesting interview or conversation to bring Holly on as a guest and let her share her story. So welcome, Holly.
Thank you so much for inviting me to your show and sharing your microphone with me.
Yeah, so this is the first podcast that I have ever done face-to-face, so...
Right here.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, right? So, Holly, I mean, do you mind getting us started and kind of giving your backstory and how that you got started in the fitness industry?
Well, to make it super clear, fitness and being fit is not something that I've always done. It's not been a part of my life for what many people seem to assume. It didn't actually become an interest of mine until after I had my first son, Tyler. And Tyler was probably right about the age of 2 when I even had an interest in looking into a gym to see what I could do to work on getting my body back, because having a baby kind of causes moms to lose their bodies. So throughout my experience of experimenting and thinking that I knew what I was doing, I actually discovered that the key to getting my body back was actually strength training. Surprise, surprise, somebody else tried to give me advice on strength training, the person sitting across from me, but I didn't think he understood what a woman needed. So it was kind of like trial and error on my own to figure it out for myself. And once I did, I was pretty amazed at how quickly my body took on a brand new shape. I had more energy. I just felt so much better about myself, and I really loved what I was doing. So I took that and ran with it and found that that's where my passion was, figuring out fitness and being able to teach it to other moms, which led me to establish myself initially in our offline business in the gym as a trainer.
So yeah, you started out with us as a trainer, and your schedule filled up pretty quickly, primarily with moms. And then something else that you had done that I look back at, I see there's still a pretty big gap in this in our industry now, but you had kind of made it click pretty rapidly with us, was nutrition coaching. I mean, I know you had started out doing one-on-one and then transitioned into more of a group coaching dynamic. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, that was pretty interesting. The group weight management courses that I taught initially from Damon Machetto, who introduced Apex Nutrition with us, a done-for-you kind of program, plug people's meal plans in, and then I held follow-up sessions as a group with the people I was working with, majority of moms. But what I found is while I looked at how these lessons were laid out, I felt that there was a lot of information that was missing, and a lot of it really, I wanted to be able to deliver the information in a relatable way. So I kind of reworked the whole program to make it fit into what I wanted to teach, as well as be able to connect to the people I was teaching.
So yeah, I can recall just late evenings where you were up scribbling away on giant flip charts as far as what your lesson the next day was going to be, and kind of reinventing it every time through. And the course is always sold out. And we had great success with it. And it's kind of astounding to me that not that many fitness professionals have integrated some sort of nutrition coaching into their business still yet today. And it was such an integral part of what we did. I mean, the clients that took part in it all got the best results. They ended up becoming our best clients. They became very much advocates for what we did. And you had kind of, you know, looking back, I think blended some of your background going through, you know, a teacher education program in college and some of that curriculum design stuff and, you know, move that into the field that you are now pursuing. So, I mean, that all worked very well. And you were obviously a very successful trainer with us, but you know, it's a story that I've told many times over that you just, you know, you were in the gym morning, noon, and night, and the bus picked Tyler up for preschool at the gym and dropped him off at the gym. And somewhere along the way, we kind of talked about the possibility of you transitioning at least part of what you did online, not really with the expectation that it was going to be kind of the whole business for you or anything like that, just really something to try to replace some of your training sessions. So do you mind talking a little bit about that kind of evolution?
Yeah, I actually remember, I think it was me and Sheena, and we sat down and created a blog, and we're like, it was like something like every, like something about women's fitness, something about very general, very broad. So we're like, we're going to reach women everywhere. And that was like our first experiment with it. And after we, was it the trip we made to Connecticut after that to Ranley Boot Camp? And I was like, whoa, look at these people. They're coming up on stage. They used to have an offline business and they took what they were doing online. They're better able to leverage their time. They're reaching so many more people, helping so many more people. And so the light bulb kind of went off that, you know, we need to do that too. And we need to get you on there, Holly, is what Patrick would be saying to me. And I was like, yeah, but with what? So we came up with an idea of like getting Bikini Ready. And that way we could create different series, Bikini Ready arms, Bikini Ready abs, Bikini Ready butt. So the next best step was to reach out and ask for help from somebody who's already been successful at it. This is a strategy we teach now, and reached out to Craig Ballantyne and said, hey, we have this idea. And he's like, that's great, but I think that something that might be a better fit would be something for Mom's Fitness. How about we run with the idea of Fit Yummy Mummy? And it was very interesting to me because Craig is a great guy, had great experience online, and had a certain idea of what that brand should look like. But when I took that brand on, it transformed into something that was different than what he expected. And actually, Fit Yummy Mummy became the go-to resource for moms who are short on time and moms who are really, that I could really relate to, and being able to build that relationship and helping them see that success was possible.
You know, initially it just started with an ebook, and I think, you know, we were kind of hoping, hey, if we make an extra $1,000 online, that would replace some of the, you know, some of the monthly income that you were bringing in. You know, obviously we were starting a couple businesses at that point, so we certainly needed to have kind of the two income household, and, you know, but it just kind of took off. I mean, the original launch, you sold, I don't even remember the exact number, but it was several hundred copies. And I mean, before you knew it, you know, it was generating more revenue than you were ever able to make as a trainer in the gym. I mean, just within a matter of months, because there was such a gap in the market. I mean, it seemed like at that point, most everybody who was online, at least in the circles we were in, was male.
Yes, so, very much.
So there was just kind of this gap that you were able to take advantage of. So, you know, after that initial ebook launch and kind of getting things going there, you know, the next big step for you was, you know, creating a community. And that's something that I think that everybody listening in can relate to. And it's something you've had a tremendous amount of success with. So let's talk about that.
Absolutely. And it actually began with the launch of the ebook, because back then it was just a PDF. It was just pictures, print out your program, look at the pictures, do the program. So there were no videos that went with this. So my initial concern was, okay, this is taking off. All these moms are buying my ebook. And I'm like, they're going to need help. They're going to have questions. They're going to need some guidance. And I knew that email was not the most efficient way to help them, not the best use of my time. So I actually created a Google group, which was much different than what it looks like today. And jumpstarted everybody who picked up the ebook when it launched with a 21-day VIP coaching program and telling them that I would guide them day by day, step by step. Here we are in the forums. We're coming together. I'm answering your questions. We're going to keep you motivated. We're going to make sure that this works. And we had launched the ebook November 6th of 2007. And 21 days came and went very quickly. And we were really, like at the end of 21 days, everybody's like, what's going to happen? We don't want to stop, you know, being able to connect and talk and get the support and encouragement and the accountability. And I was like, well, I said, we don't have to close this down right now. I said, let's carry it through the holidays. And in the meantime, I'll look around and see what's online so we can go to a better place that it's easier for us to get together. So at the start of the new year, I found an online program. It was a free program. You could create a platform, create your own membership site. It was, I don't even know if it's around till still today, ning.com. And it was great. It was just like, welcome home. And I could just not only nurture the women who made the commitment to take on the Fit Yummy Mommy program, but because there wasn't, people didn't know who I was. So there's a lot of skepticism. Okay, so I see your website. I see these before and afters. Are you a real person? So I actually used it as a way to help build my credibility. So if someone was skeptical, I said, hey, just come on over and join Club FYM, and then you'll be able to meet me. You can see the women I'm working with. And it just helped, I thought, would be a great springboard for building relationships and helping to get the word out and get more people into Fit Yummy Mummy. But what I found was, my community quickly filled up with people who hadn't spent a dime, but yet were wanting my time, which was taking my time away from the ones who actually made the investment. So my brilliant husband said, it's time for you to move to a paid membership platform. And I remember the day, my initial reaction was, oh my God, no. I was so mad that he would even suggest such a thing, because how in the world am I going to ask these women who are like my friends to now pay to spend time with me online? But due to his wonderful, he has the upside of a stubborn nature, is that he was able to get me to take the steps to get us moved over to Membergate to establish a paid membership site. And our launch leading up to that, we built out, I think it was like a series of 10 videos that explained exactly why we're moving, why they're going to benefit from this, what they're going to get out of it. And the day I opened up the new membership site, I was just floored by how many women were like, we will follow you wherever. We want to support you. We understand that this is an investment. This is what we want. We will do whatever you need. That was like my raving fans. And I discovered that Patrick was right yet again, and I should probably do a better job listening, but it was one of the best moves I could have made, because it really helped to boost relationship level wise, because then these women saw that I was making an investment in return as well, because as being a part of this membership site, they not only had me as their coach for accountability and support, but I was able to continue to make more resources for them along the way based on what they needed.
I think my biggest takeaway out of that was you sliding that whole stubborn thing in between all those kind of sandwiched compliments. But so the community really took off. And, you know, I mean, I think at its peak had over 800 members and everything was really thriving. And one of the things that I think that you did extraordinarily well was run online transformation challenges. In fact, you were probably, aside from Craig, the first person I remember seeing online run those types of challenges. And to date, I think we've kind of added up that, you know, you've had upwards of probably 5,000 people participate in a challenge over, you know, the better part of the past decade. So, you know, knowing that, I mean, can you talk about the way that kind of evolved and the impact that had on the community?
Yes. And I do remember Craig introducing it to me and showing me the steps that he took. And of course, I listened and made it my own. I didn't want to call it a contest. It didn't have the right feel. So I called it a challenge. And it was really great because it gave the women the lure of a deadline was one of the biggest pulls. And the fact that we're all doing something together, the prizes and such were nice, but in the end, like the bigger picture of it was that they were accomplishing their goals. So their prize was actually a better body, a better life. And I remember that there was a point where women were like, we don't care what the prizes are. We just tell us when it starts. Tell us what we got to do. We're excited to get this going. And initially, one of the ways to leverage, you know, a challenge is that it's boosting up your social proof. You'll get dozens and dozens of success stories, which was so amazing. The success stories that my ladies would send in were just very heartfelt. And the results that they achieved went so much deeper than pounds lost or inches lost around their belly or, you know, I can get into my skinny jeans. The things that they were achieving in their lives were pretty grand. And that allowed me to kind of be able to put out there online that, you know, it's great that you have these fitness goals, but also look at everything else that you can benefit from by achieving them, how much more your life improves, the quality of your life. So over the years, I actually tweaked my challenges from just, you know, general 4-week challenge or a 10-week challenge. And they transformed into more themed challenges throughout the year. And there was a point where I was hosting like 5 different challenges a year. And like as soon as one challenge ended and we shared the stories and we celebrated, everybody's like, all right, when's the next challenge? And it really helped with retention of my membership site. The stories were just pouring in and women were getting results.
So, you know, over the time that you were in the site and, you know, Fit Yummy Mummy as a whole, I mean, you launched close to 30 different products, everything from full on like body transformation systems, kind of higher price products, a print newsletter, which we were just kind of thumbing through some episodes of, specialized programs, bundles of workouts of the month. I mean, pretty much everything, even held, you know, a few live summits. So it seemed like, you know, maybe, gosh, I guess 3 years ago, you kind of started to maybe shift interest, lose interest. I don't know the exact way to put it. It seemed like it was about the same time I was starting to look at building a new business myself. So do you mind talking a little bit about that kind of transition to like evolution to where you are now?
Sure. I think one of the biggest benefits of being able to be so tightly knit, have such a tightly knit community was that, you know, my finger was on the pulse of what these ladies needed. So the ability to produce products that were successful were based on what these ladies were requesting. That was one thing that I really loved. But so then I got pregnant and we had, you know, Alexander, and I was like, the opportunity to make a pregnancy specific program while I'm pregnant. It was perfect. And then I was like, and then everybody can see what's realistic after you have a baby. Watch me as I lose my baby weight. So it's not just, oh yeah, I had a baby, you know, 6 or 7 years ago and I got my body back. They could see it in real time action. So I was really, really excited to be able to share that part of my journey. And it was probably right before Alexander turned 1. I had it in my head that I was going to do a photo shoot because I was also turning 40 and I was going to have my leanest body yet. And I was going to, you know, have the pictures to prove it. And I'd have all of these new marketing materials to prove to moms that you can get a better body after baby and multiple babies. And, you know, there's this realistic approach and all that fun stuff. So after my photo shoot, which was magical and amazing, afterwards, I was so excited to show the ladies my photos. And it was quite a shock because it was not well received. Even though these are the same women who are making vision boards, cutting pictures out of these women who are lean as can be from these fitness magazines. They didn't want my picture on there. And what I realized was I was no longer relatable and they missed the Holly that they could relate to. So it really kind of shook my world because I thought I knew the direction I wanted to go. And I thought that I was confident about what I was doing. So it really shook me. And right about that time, I also broke my foot from a poor choice of stomping when I was upset. And that kind of put me right on my butt too. And it gave me an opportunity to kind of take this step back and realize that's not where I want to go. being chained to creating workout after workout, month after month, getting the same questions over and over again, people just not getting it, I found it was no longer bringing me joy. So I took a step back, and ups and downs that happened in my life, but I realized that there is more to life than getting six-pack abs, than lifting your butt, than losing X amount of pounds. It's the quality of the life and how you're living your life and that legacy that you're going to end up passing on to your children. And so I began to change the tone of my transformation challenges. The headlines were no longer lose 20 pounds in 12 weeks. It was more of, you know, improve. It was about improvement, about getting better, about feeling better. And I tested out a couple challenges, you know, taking the theme of courage, taking the theme of what improvement really means. And it really, like these women, it really hit them that this is what has been missing in their lives. So after some reflection and some other changes that took place, I realized I want to change. I want to change my focus. Transformation challenges, I mean, it's what I've been doing all along. It's what I've been teaching all along. But I wanted the focus and the spotlight to be on what are we doing each day to get better, to make the most of each and every day, to live a higher quality of life.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that there came a point when, you know, you just kind of said, okay, it's time to change. Because I think the biggest, from an observational standpoint, the biggest obstacle was I think that all along you knew that this was the new direction you wanted to go. But so much of your professional identity had been tied up in what you had been doing. I mean, you had done 194 workout of the month workouts.
A lot.
And that, you know, that's kind of who we are. I remember going through the same thing back in my baseball coaching days. Like, that's my identity. I was a college baseball coach. And you feel like there's a fear of losing your identity. So, I mean, just watching you kind of probably for the better part of a year, kind of try to have one foot on both sides of the fence, right? Like, yeah. Not necessarily, you know, willing to leave what you'd done because, you know, maybe it was a fear of this next thing not working out or, you know, losing some of the relationships or influence you'd had with these women. I mean, any of that's just an educated guess on my part. But I mean, it took a while for you to get comfortable saying, look, no, this is where I'm going and I'm diving in head first and it's time.
Yeah. And the word that comes to mind is wait. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting? I was lost for a little bit and I lost my voice. I didn't know how to bring it back. And when I did want to bring it back, I wanted to sound sure and confident. And I think once I found that fire back in me, when I found that this is about everyday joy, that's what I've been teaching all along. Well, then I need to get the megaphone and yell at everybody that this is what I stand for and this is who I am. And this has been here all along, but we've been overlooking it because we've been so hyper-focused on the fraction of what makes a difference to changing your life for the better. But if we can shift that and make this our priority, everything else is going to be more doable. Everything else is going to begin to fall into place. And once I made the decision to stop waiting, because I even remember saying to the women, because my ladies, my membership, you know, it's like a second family. I let them know that, you know, there's some big changes coming and there was fear. And there was fear that they're going to lose a part of something that they've come to know so well. I was able to explain to them that just because I'm not filming a brand new workout every month doesn't mean that fitness is not an important part of your life. And teaching them, not gripping something, white knuckling something so badly that they're missing out on the other parts of their life. And the ones who would get it would be there. The ones who aren't ready for that shift, they know where they can come back to when they are ready, because not everybody's on the same continuum for change. So when I stopped waiting and just started taking the steps forward, found my voice again, and having the support around me that I was making the right choices really made a big difference. And I just experienced a whole new level of enthusiasm because of it.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, you finally kind of came to the conclusion where you pulled a plug and stopped billing the people from the previous membership.
Oh, yeah.
And really made them, you know, say, okay, I'm going to re-enroll. So they're making a conscious decision that this is where they want to go. You weren't just trying to have this, I guess, under the radar evolution that they don't really realize they're along for the ride. And that's a pretty bold move, right?
Well, yeah, because I let them know. I was like, don't worry, the workouts aren't going anywhere. And in the back of my head, I was like, you know, I'll give it a good 10 to 12 months. So that way Paul and I, my videographer, we can figure out what we can do instead. And then I was just like, why am I going to drag this out? I'm like, I just made the statement that if something's no longer bringing you joy, then you need to reevaluate what you're spending your time doing and why. And I'm like, I'm not being a very good role model if I were to continue to drag that out. So I was just like, okay, this is it. December's the last month of the workout of the month. You guys will not be billed past this. And come January, I'll have a grand reopening of what our community is all about and all kinds of wonderful goodies for you.
Yeah, and being kind of more of the business guy in our household, I'm sure that when she first told me that was going to happen, I kind of did a double take. And you know, I mean, obviously, this was something coming for a long time. So it wasn't, you know, too tough for me to wrap my head around and embrace. But I mean, that's a big step. And I know a lot of people in our industry and probably outside our industry that have created a success that they don't particularly enjoy, right? I mean, by so many external measures, it's a success. They've got a lot of clients, they're generating revenue, it's profitable. It's what a lot of people set out to achieve, be it online or offline. But ultimately, you know, the way it was kind of operating, it just wasn't fulfilling to you anymore. So I said, look, hey, it's time to stop. And I'm going all in on this other direction. So talk a little bit about kind of what's next, where you're going now with this kind of new evolved brand that, in truth, from the observational side of things, I don't know that it's dramatically different than what was going on inside your community to begin with. It's more of what the front facing stuff is.
Yes, I will tell you about that. I want to just back up a little bit to say that the whole bold move thing and me being open and sharing my journey with my ladies, I received so much feedback of thank you for showing what's possible. You've given me the courage to take this step in my life. So don't discount being able to share your own story and the obstacles that you overcome and how you come to the decisions that you make, because you can inspire the people that you are working with by showing them that you're a real person. And that's part of being a good leader and showing them how this is what I did, this is why I did it. And it can be very encouraging and inspiring. And especially when they know that the person that you're looking up to is human too. As far as what's next, my new community is called Everyday Joy Community. And what we represent, yes, it's what I've been doing all along, you're right. What's dramatically different is the fact that I have a system in place in order to teach. We are more focused on lifestyle design for moms. And I had been hit or miss here with the past couple challenges. And I found certain areas in the way that I presented certain areas during the challenge really motivated and really got ladies really digging deep and really taking these big action steps in their life. So I created a system that allows me to teach this to them in our community that becomes the self-guided ongoing resource for them so they can return to these lessons as needed instead of waiting, when's the next challenge going to happen? Because that was one of the big challenges. The big challenge of hosting challenges is that when it ends, everybody freaks out. They're like, what do I do? And I'm like, you do what you've been doing for the past 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 12 weeks, everything I've been teaching you, you keep doing it. So I wanted to eliminate this starting and stopping cycle by empowering the moms that I work with. So, I mean, I think there's a quote about it. It made me, like, just a light bulb went off in my head, but the gap between where you are and where you want to go, it takes discipline to get there. So I created 6 disciplines of lifestyle design for moms, and I've created these modules with lessons that guide them each step of the way, and especially because the information that they are, I mean, everybody's got the same information, but the way that it's taught, the way that they are learning this is broken into these bite-sized pieces, just like with their 15-minute workouts. It's all, that's where the journey began. 15 minutes to work out, you can schedule a time, you feel better, you got it. So now let's take 15 minutes of a chunk of time and work on another area of your life to help improve that as well. So getting them closer to life mastery, you know, just feeling good, like being able to, at the end of the day, be able to be like, life is good. Life is good. And I actually had a lady tell me that the other day. And I was like, yes, I want to hug you. Yes, that is the ultimate goal for all of us to be able to say that.
So one of the things that I do on the Ideal Business Show, which I'm sure you've never listened to previously. So
what are you saying?
Is I always ask for 2 or 3 takeaways or lessons for the people listening in that will help them get from where they are to where they want to be from a business perspective. So with that in mind, you know, the stuff that I think that you've done, like, that's applicable to everybody, because, you know, once we get past the, hey, I work specifically with busy moms or whatever else, I mean, you've connected with people, you've created a really powerful community, you've played to your strengths. So, you know, I'm sure there are some things in those areas that would be immensely valuable to anybody listening in, regardless of whether they have, you know, a small personal training studio or, you know, an online business. So what kind of tips do you have for us, Holly?
Takeaways. Okay. How about we do 3 takeaways? First takeaway, know exactly who it is that you want to work with. I know that when I went into training one-on-one as a, you know, as a trainer in a gym, I wanted to work with moms because I saw what they were doing. And it's not like I made those fitness mistakes in the past because I was never really a fitness person. But when I could see it just so clearly, I was like, I got to help these ladies. I got to help these moms. I got to help them stop making these mistakes. So I knew I wanted to work with moms. And over the course of time, I realized I want to work with moms who know they have to put some work into getting a better body. And then as it continued to evolve, I knew I wanted to work with moms who now at this point realize there's more to life than 6-pack abs. So, and the reason why I'm saying it like this is because I can reflect back and look at so much time and energy going back and forth, trying to convince something that this is what they need, when that was not my ideal client anyway. And I should have taken that time and energy into the ones who had raised their hand that said, I need you, please help me. And when you are very clear about who you want to work with, identifying, okay, that's somebody that might be a good fit down the road once they can be hit A, B, and C criteria. Because right now, here's the pool of people who have met that criteria, and they are longing, they desire my time, my attention, my coaching, and the accountability to make a difference in their life.
Wonderful. So what's takeaway number 2?
takeaway number 2 has to be community. You have to find a way to establish community, a sense of belonging, a place where they know they can be heard, a place, a safe place where they can share their ups and downs, to receive some validation that, okay, yeah, you're struggling, you're not alone, but now let's do something about it. And in today's world, you know, there's so many online platforms that you can choose from to create that sense of community. So it's much easier nowadays. Just make sure that you are making it clear what your community stands for. Support those who are there supporting others, recognizing the efforts that they're making to reach out, lend a helping hand, and really, you know, step it up, nurture that community, because that's what leads into your raving fans.
All right. Well, that's 2. What is number 3?
I would say number 3 would have, okay, yeah, number 3 would have to be play to your strengths. And the reason why I'm giggling is because I've not always done that, because I want to be the master of everything. I have this little thing with control. So the ability to delegate and hand off something that, sure, I could figure out how to do, or sure, I can do it, but it's not what I'm best at, was preventing me from putting my focus and my time and my energy into what I was really good at. And your strengths are not like this list of 20 things. It's typically, what, 1 to 3 strengths, would you say? So I can now, and once I've clearly identified the fact that, yeah, I'm really good on video, so that's where I need to focus my efforts, not on editing video and posting video and, you know, getting it out there. I make the video. So delegate what, sure, I love to do or can do. Got to focus on what you're good at.
All right. So, well, Holly, this is a fun interview, and I didn't really know where it was going to go because sometimes glad. You can be relatively unpredictable. So, no, thank you, and thank you for kind of sharing this journey, because I think from the outside looking in, you know, either people, you know, I think most people, because the way that I kind of structure my communication with the daily emails and stuff, most people who would be listening to this are, you know, pretty familiar with you, but those who aren't, it gives them a wonderful kind of backstory. And those who are, maybe it allows them to see, you know, deeper into the picture, because they may have said, well, hey, I know she does well online, and I know she's done this yummy mummy stuff and everything. So, you know, recognizing that there are ups and downs, and recognizing that, you know, I mean, you've gone through the same challenges that most any entrepreneur goes through, I think is both reassuring and very real for a lot of people. So thank you for coming on and sharing. I'm glad we were able to do this. And for all of you guys listening in, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. I very much appreciate you being part of the Ideal Business Show. So thanks, Holly.
Thank you, listeners. And thank you, Patrick.
And we'll wrap up there. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ideal Business Show.
Thanks for listening. We've got a special gift for our listeners. We're giving away 52 cut and paste newsletters that you could start using for your fitness business today. To get your special gift, head on over to patrigsby.com/gift.